Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Ever wonder how pop stars find the time to write hit after hit while checking in and out of rehab, avoiding paparazzi, driving DIC, shaving off the hair and adopting babies from the third world? Well, I don't, of course, for the most part. Today's pop stars draw on songs penned by any number of talented writers around the world. People like Jason Blum, who's written for everyone from Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears, and who joins us now. The words to say, the road to take, to find a way back to your heart. Well, Jason, firstly, what brings you out to New Zealand?
Well, what brings me here is the opportunity to do what I love the most, which is to teach songwriting and to work with developing artists and songwriters. And I've just recently done that in Auckland, and now we'll be doing it in Wellington again on the 29th and 30th.
Fantastic. And so you're teaching songwriting. Now, obviously, your credentials, what sort of credentials have you got to teach songwriting? How can anyone teach songwriting?
You know, it's amazing, but you really can teach songwriting. I don't know that I can teach anyone to write a great song, but I can teach anyone to write a well-crafted song. And I can hopefully teach them how to dig within themselves and find those places where they'll have a better opportunity of coming out with something that's really great.
That's an interesting question. What do people come to you for? Do they come to you because they want to improve their songwriting skills, or do they have in their heads the idea that they want to write a hit like you have?
I think I'm really not being facetious. I think a lot of people come to me because they think they've already written hits, and I'm hoping I will somehow change their lives, open up the magic door to fame and fortune. But a lot of other people come to me because they want to learn how to write songs that will connect with audiences. That's what it's really about. Anyone can write a song. I wrote songs for years and years, but it was all about catharsis. It was all about me, me, me. And really, the path changed for me the moment when I grasped that songwriting is communication. It's not about writing for me unless you feel what it is that I'm trying to convey. That's what music is about. We want to evoke emotion. If it's a happy song, I want you to feel happy. If it's a sad song, I want you to empathize with my sadness. And there are reasons why lyrics and melodies accomplish those things. And that's what I can teach. I can teach tools and techniques to write melodies that really do stick in the brain. It's not just luck. And that's great news, because I don't know how to teach luck.
Are there things like a certain key works better, for example?
No. I really don't think so. Actually, the key to the recording studio works quite well. But no, any key. There probably are hit songs written in every imaginable key. And I'll also say that there have been hit songs written probably in every imaginable way. There's not a right or a wrong way. You don't want to necessarily start with a lyric or start with chord changes or start with a melody. I'm sure that hit songs have been written in every imaginable fashion.
Because it often amazes, or maybe in some ways disappoints, I don't know quite, when I hear a good song that I like and I sit there and I play the guitar and I sit there and I go, I'm going to work out how to play the song. Mm-hmm. And 10 seconds later, you've worked out it's the same chord progression as 1,000 other songs, and yet it sounds so different.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's one of the things I think I teach the best, that the chord progression is what I call the track. It's the foundation. And of course, it's critically important to have a strong foundation, especially in pop music, in R&B pop, in hip hop. In many of those genres, the foundation rules, meaning the beats, the bass drum, the bass guitar. Those parts are very, very important. But nobody walks down the street humming chord changes or singing bass lines. And it's critically important to learn how to get a melody that sticks in somebody's brain on top of those chord changes. So while you might indeed have the same three or four chords used thousands of times in successful songs, it's what goes on top of those changes that sets each song apart.
Is this the kind of things you teach, unchanging rules, or does the craft of writing a popular song change over time?
Good question. I think there are certain common denominators across genres, because I'm one of the people, I've had songs at the same time, I'll brag a little bit, After 16 years of banging my head against the wall, I found myself with hit songs on the pop, country, and R&B charts all at the same time. So I believe these tools stretch across many genres. And I work with rock bands. I mean, I've worked with hard rock bands and alternative bands. I've worked with Christian artists. And over all of it, there seem to be certain things that cause songs to connect, regardless of the genre and regardless of the time era. There has to be something in the concept that the listener relates to, that they empathize with. And melodically, I think the key is repetition. I think the key is repetition. I think the key is repetition. You know, and if I asked you to repeat that back for me, you could all repeat back, the key is repetition. But you wouldn't be able to remember what I had said three sentences previous to that. And it's part of what I'm trying to tell people is melodically, across genres and across time zones and time, you know, peer eras, the bottom line is melody that sticks in the brain has repetition in it.
Are there songs that confuse you as to why they are so, as successful as they are? Where you can't identify, because I mean, I hear, you know, top 40 hits all the time that from big artists, like say your Christinas and your Britneys and things like that, mm-hmm. that aren't the catchy "Hit Me Baby One More Time" sort of songs. That just seem to be mm-hmm. these very bland cookie cutter sort of songs.
You know, when somebody asks me that in the context of one of my seminars, my answer tends to be, "Is that what you want to write? Do you want to write? Shall I try and teach you how to write a mediocre, cookie-cutter, boring song?" And it's not really productive to focus on, well, why is that lousy song a hit on the radio, or why is that lousy song a hit? The answer is probably because the artist is already established and co-wrote it, or wrote it with the producer, or they thought it was great, or it's the video, the way the artist looked. There are so many factors that can go into a song's success. And my feeling is I just can't worry about those things. I can't control them. All I can do is write the best song that I'm capable of.
With a star like Britney Spears, who you've worked with,
yes,
is it a help if the artist can co-write?
Absolutely. Yeah. The situation when I wrote with Britney is a perfect example of what an artist can contribute, in that I had already brought in a finished song. And I think the idea, the concept for a song is so important. And when that idea hit me, I literally said to somebody, "I just got my next Britney Spears cut." Because the concept of a little girl writing in her diary, my song, the concept was "Dear Diary." And she was literally, the lyric was as if she was writing in her diary, "Dear Diary, today I met a boy.
Dear Diary, today I saw a boy, and I wondered if he noticed me. He took my breath away."
And I just thought, wow, for her 8 and 10 and 12-year-old fans, this is going to be undeniable. But what Britney could bring to the co-writing session was the knowledge that she said that the ending of the song just didn't feel right for her fans, that she felt that what was more realistic, what they would relate to more, was this whole different ending. And she was right.
A lot of pop songs are also massive productions these days. How has that changed the craft, if at all? You know, they're big, noisy things.
Absolutely. And production is critically important. And how that applies to songwriters is it becomes our responsibility to produce a demo recording that sounds essentially indistinguishable from that finished recording. You would be amazed if you heard my demos or demos of other hit songs, and then you listen to the recording and you say, "Wait a minute, which one is the demo?" And the bottom line is, so we have to create the demos that are essentially spoon-feeding the producer and the artist what we would like it to sound like. But at the same time, there's got to be a song on top of it, a melody, a concept that connects with millions of people.
Fantastic. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
And that's Jason Bloom. If you'd like to go along to his seminar next weekend in Wellington, check out the details at jasonbloom.com. Coming up after the break, we talk about talking about climate change, and we've got the Phoenix Foundation.